Church, good evening. How's everybody feeling this evening? Oh my word. The rugby was last week. We can rejoice this week, okay? Great. It's so good to be here. First of all, I wanted to thank UMG, but I see he's not here tonight. So, yes, I just want to say thank you for the wonderful opportunity to be here, actually. You know, as he said, I'm the youth pastor and chauffeur Franz Schuch, and he mentioned that I've got a passion for people, but he forgot to mention for young people. So I work with the youth and chauffeur Franz Schuch, and it's just amazing. It's just amazing. Can we pray before we start, please? Father, in the name of Jesus, we know that you are here, God. Father, we felt your presence, Lord God. You are here, Lord God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that your presence will lead us, Father. And I pray, God, that every heart will be open, Lord God, to receive from you, Father. Father, we know it's not by might, not by power, but it's only by your spirit, Lord Jesus. So, Father, we give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. So, I heard Pastor Anton was here this morning, right? Fantastic. So, I remember at my wedding, he said to us, he's the one that married us, my wife and I, and he's like, you know what, you guys, you must never let your love grow cold. So I'm like, okay, cool. And he said to us, you must spice things up. Don't be boring. You understand? And I'm like, okay, cool. So we used to live in Paul. One Sunday morning, I'm driving with my wife, and she's on my left, and I'm like, okay, Pastor Anton's words are ringing in my head. Don't be boring, don't be boring. So I look at her, and I'm like, and, you know, after reading, like, Songs of Solomon, you are inspired to say amazing words to your wife. And I said to my wife, my love, your hair is like the flock of goats. She looked at me. Nothing. And I'm like, okay, this is not happening. I've got to say something. I'm like, love, your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon. She looks at me. And I'm like, okay, I give up. I give up. As we're driving, I'm like, no, this cannot be happening. I've got to redeem myself. So I look at her and I'm like, maybe this one would work. I'm like, love, you smell so nice like the book of Genesis. And she breaks out like, oh, love, thank you. And I'm like, in my mind, what's wrong with you? You miss Lebanon and the flock of goats. But for Genesis, you are happy. Amen. It's such a privilege to be here tonight. The title of my message this evening is When We Met. When We Met. I remember how much joy I had when I met the Lord. When the Lord encountered me that evening, when the Lord just had an encounter with me, I remember that joy that I had at first. And this evening, I'm just wanting to speak about that. Because as a people, I think we tend to forget how much joy we had at first. You understand? We forget, like, I remember there was always a lady that was praying for me. And she's like, Moja, you've got to go to youth. And I'm like, you know, as a teenager, you're like, church, me, no. Maybe next week. The following week, I was at her house again because her son was my best friend and still my best friend. And she's like, you guys need to go to youth. And I'm like, maybe next week. And one day, you know, when a woman speaks and she gives you that death stare, she's like, okay, you guys are going to youth. And we're like, okay, uns bieven, uns broeken. And we're like, okay, now we have to go. So we get to a youth group. And that evening, I remember Pastor Anton was leading the youth back then. So we're there in that moment. And I come from a traditional church, okay, where a pastor must always wear a suit and he must always look like he's choking. You understand? So I get there and the pastor is wearing shorts and they're busy throwing smarties in each other's mouths. And I'm like, this is not church. This is such a joke. But then I look to the left and I just saw this figure. It was a young girl. And I said in my heart, there must be a God. And I'm standing there and I'm like, okay, to this place I'm going to come and I'm going to stay. So that evening, I remember we just standing there and I look at this and I'm like, you know what? I know I'm going to be coming for the wrong reason, but I'm going to be part of this thing. So it happened that the following week, I was at that youth group again. I'm at that youth group, and as time goes by, there's this thing that they used to call praise and worship. Don't forget, now I'm a non-believer. Okay, now I get to this church, and they are busy doing what they call praise and worship. And they trying to play salvation is here, it's not working. They try to play one way is not working. And all of a sudden, there's this song that starts to play, Awesome God. Oh God, is an awesome God. And I'm like, okay. And I see everybody in the room going down on their knees. And I'm like, this is not for me. This is not going to happen. I'm not going to be part of this people going down on their knees, like, you know, crying and lifting up hands. That is not me. And I remember I'm just standing there, and Awesome God is playing. And I'm just standing like this. Awesome God is playing. And I'm beginning to feel it. Awesome God is playing. Awesome God is playing. And I'm like, okay. There's something that is not lacquer in my heart right now. And that evening, as this song is playing, I'm like there, and I'm like, oh my, Khona Machantas, something's got to give. And I remember, and I'm like, okay, let me just copy a few of them. Okay, and I'm like, okay, I see the hands are up. And I'm like, oh God, the awesome God, he reigns from heaven above. Way for ye blame it da. So I'm like, this is it. I'm not going to go any further. But I remember that evening, I let all go. And I was on my knees, and I was crying. And Pastor Anton made an altar call, and he's like, the Lord is speaking to many of you tonight. And he's knocking on your hearts, and he's calling you back home. And I'm like, yeah, here I am. And I prayed a sinner's prayer, and my life has never been the same. And tonight, church, I just want us to think back. I just want us to think back of when we encountered the Lord. How much joy there was in your heart. How much joy there was in your heart to share with your fellow friends, with your fellow believers. I remember when I just got saved, man, it was like, I can do whatever now. I can take on the whole world because I've got this fire of God within my heart and nothing's going to stop me. Nothing is going to stop me. It was like, you know, at school when the guy saw me, it was like, okay, here he comes again. Let's go this way because we know we're going to hear about Jesus right now. I mean, like you were like in a topic with me. Hey, Mosh, how are you going? I'm good, bro. So have you heard about Jesus? And we talk about Jesus. But you know what? There's some stuff that happens in life that makes you go like, you know, I'm kind of losing my fire, and I'm not as excited as I used to be. And you know what? All of us get to that stage where we're like, okay, I get it. I get there's a Jesus, but I'm not as excited about Jesus as I was. And church, I pray that God would awaken that love again. That love that we had at first, that God will just come in and be like, you know what, my people, I just want you now. I just want you to worship me in spirit and in truth, and I just want you guys to live for me and only me. I want you to put aside everything that is not of me so that you can just focus on me so that you may live for me. And I remember this. I want to bring this story in. Sorry, Miskat, I'm going to use you as my example tonight. The very first time I saw my wife, it was the first year's camp. And we were sitting outside as we were waiting to embark on our journey to the campsite. And we were playing some games outside. And I remember I was just looking at this lady. And I'm like, okay. Got my eye on you. But all of a sudden, something happened to her face. She began to turn red. And I was very concerned. So I went to my pastor then, and I'm like, Brie, please go ask if she's okay. And my pastor just told me, no, don't worry, it's just sunburn. So she was so red of sunburn, but my heart was like, wow. Sunburn or not? Yay. I beg you, I like you. So the whole camp, I'm like, okay, you know, I know, Father, I'm supposed to be focused on you. Yes, but. And I remember the whole campsite, the whole time we had camp, I'm like trying to like, you know, just talk to the person, get to know the person. And the last day of the camp, and I'm like, Moja, you failed your mission. You didn't. You failed your mission, boy. You've got to do something now. So, you know, if it's a good thing there's no show for pastors here tonight. I was naughty that day. You know, you're never supposed to take anybody's numbers at camps. But I was like, you know, okay, Father, I want to, you know, accountability. You weigh all these things. And I'm like, I'm going to take everybody's number so it doesn't look so obvious that I want a number. So we had around about 34 people there. And I took all the guys' numbers, but her number was the main one that I wanted. And during the week, I was just started like that conversation of, hey, how are you doing? All that. But I remember those days, how much in love I was. When we started going out, it was so amazing. I remember I used to have this car. We used to call it the Scoro Scoro. Okay? That car was like the worst car in Porch by far. Basically, what would happen with that car is that as you drive, the door would open by itself. The car was beaten up so bad. But I remember one day we were so hungry and we're like, let's go get pizza. And she sat in that car. And like the seats were torn. Like nothing about that car was very pleasing except for her. And as we're driving, we get to the pizza place and everybody's looking at us. And I climb out, you know, pulling the door on her side. And everybody's looking at us. But the joy of saying, you know what, yeah, okay, Owens, I've got a scrappy car, but I got a beautiful girl. I'm so in love with this woman. It was so amazing. Like, there was no feeling that could compare to it. Like, it's just, guys, I'm getting so psyched up right now. It was like, wow. And every time, like, she would open the gate at her house, it would be like, oh, my Khuna, here she comes again. Here she comes again. And it was amazing. It's still amazing, by the way. It's still amazing. We are married. It's amazing. I love my wife. But here's the thing. Let's face it. We tend to lose that. We tend to lose that awe of the person. And we tend to lose that awe of God. And why does that happen? It's because we get distracted. We lose sight of God. Can we read Revelations together, please? Revelations 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear with those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you left your first love. That you left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. If you're honest with yourself tonight and you look at your journey with God, looking at your life right now, would you say that you are still in love with Jesus as you were when you just met him? Are you still excited about Jesus in your life? Are you still excited that your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus? Is that joy of salvation still there? And this happens because we are not doing the things that we used to do at first. As soon as you became a Christian, you heard about mission trips, you went on mission trips, and you were so fired up about mission trips. We are not aware of what Christ did on that cross, and it doesn't psych us up anymore to be like, God, you know, with all my hands can hold my heart, my own strength and soul, I want to live for you. I want to live for you. If we read on Jeremiah 2, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry in the hearing of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember your kindness of your youth, the love you the love of your betrothal when you went after me in the wilderness, in the land not sown. Israel was holiness to the Lord, the firstfruits of his increase. All that devour him will offend. Disaster will come upon them, says the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me and have followed idols and have become idolaters? I just want to read up to that. The word of the Lord says this, and I want to bring it to us. What happened that you are not running after me anymore? What happened? What distracted you? What pulled you away from me? I remember, the other translation says this, I remember the devotion of your youth. How you followed me, how you loved me, how you pursued me with everything within you. You ran after me. Meaning that you were so in love with God that you were just running behind him and you were for him. And scripture says, but what happens? And God is asking us, what injustice did I do that you turned away from me? What did I do that my people are not in love with me as they should be? What am I doing that the people are not in awe of me? What am I doing as God? And I've got a surprise for all of us. God is not doing something, it's us. It will always be us that's moving away from God. He says if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. So we are the ones that's always running away from God. And I believe that God is calling us back tonight to the place where he is our first love. Listen to what David says in Psalm 51. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. This is after King David has messed up with Bathsheba, and this is the psalm that he writes because he knows that he has fallen. He has fallen from his first love, and now he's saying, God, you know what? I know I've messed up, but I want to come back to the place of my first love. So restore the joy of your salvation. Who's still excited about being saved here? Anybody else? Are we still excited that we're saved? Are we still excited about what God did for us? Where are we standing? Where are we standing? We've allowed ourselves to be so influenced by the world that when we think about God, it doesn't consume us anymore. God, like the Bible is just another book when we look at it. It's just a book that we pull out when we need something. And the Bible is our daily bread. Something that we live on day by day. How's your quiet time with God going? Is it still good? When you wake up in that morning, or has the spirit of Juve got you also? I remember my wife saying to me, because I was like, oh, it's winter, I just need to be in bed. She's like, love, you need to have your quiet time. You need to have your quiet time. And you know, I can tell the difference when I've had quiet time and when I have not had quiet time, when I go to work. Every day it's like, okay, when I've had quiet time, it's amazing. This is awesome. When I just miss that quiet time, it's like, it feels like something is missing. It feels like, you know what, okay, where did I go wrong? Where did I go wrong? On Thursday, I was turning 27, and what I did was, Pastor Richard has been doing a series on praise and worship, and he said, when you wake up, you must do high-speed dancing. That's what Smith Wigglesworth did for 12 minutes, and it's like, okay, church, we're going to practice this, and I'm like, okay, cool, I'm going to do this. So after my wife left, I jumped out of bed and I put on music in our house and I played this song, God's Great Dance Floor. I don't know who knows it. I'm coming back to the start. And I cannot dance to save my life. So I was just playing moves in there. And I'm just going with this music. And I'm breathing heavy. And I'm just thinking, Moja, the song is only around about 4 minutes and you're out already. But I'm like just dancing because there's so much joy. I'm so excited about my king. I'm like, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to be even more undignified than this. I'm going to dance for Jesus. And I can tell you that day, on Thursday, it was so amazing. Like, my smile was like up to here. It was just so beautiful. Because it was like, you know what? That place of my first love. Like, Father, I just want to be close to you. Just want to be close to you. I've just been doing this study of, like, you know, the hunger of God. And John Piper asked this question, how hungry are you? How hungry are you? And I'm like, man, I don't think I'm as hungry as I should be. And I'm like, okay, but it cannot be like that. It cannot be like that. It doesn't seem right for me to not be hungering after the master. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Sure, amen. It's getting way too quiet in here. But it's okay. Let's read Revelation 3, verse 14 to 16. And to the angel of the church of the... You know, I've always struggled with this word. Can we all say it together? Huh? Loud. Yes, that one, brother. Right. These things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you are cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. What does it look like when God vomits us out of his mouth? People are doing studies of, like, you know, what would it look like if God were to vomit us? What would it look like? And I'm like, I just get a simple explanation. Blah. That's it, bro. Because it's like, I cannot take you. Who's ever had, like, lukewarm coffee? It's like you take it and you're like, this is not it. Lukewarm coffee doesn't do it. Even microwave coffee doesn't work. But here's the thing. God is like, you know, you need to be decided. It's either you're going to be cold. I can handle cold. You can be hot. I'm going to love that. But if you're undecided, it doesn't work for me. You are so undecided. It's like, you know, one day you are, hey, Jesus, you're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Jesus. The other day you're like just standing, I don't think I like God. The other day you're like, definitely no, not today. Then you are like, okay, yes, now I think I like God. Yes, Jesus, I love you. Look at the confusion that we're causing. And we're trying to think that we can live this life and walk like this and go on missions and be excited about everything. Okay, I love Jesus and I'm walking this way and I'm walking this way. Listen, you're going to tear your pants. You cannot be undecided about Jesus. You cannot be undecided about God. Let's carry on reading Revelation 3. Listen to this one. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Undecided people don't actually realize that they are actually dead, but they think they are living. Undecided people put on masks to say, you know, I'm a believer, but actually it's not happening. You know, undecided people are the people that come to church on a Sunday, but on a Monday to a Saturday, they actually live like heathens. And we need to speak about these people. Because, like, listen to this. You know what? You and I are the only picture of Jesus that the world is going to get to see. So we need to represent Christ well. Wherever we go, we must represent Christ so well that when people look at us, they'll be like, you know, I want some of what you've got. I want some of what you've got. And I made this mistake once in high school, people. I used to preach the word of Jesus. And one day, I was in grade 11. And one day, my friends were watching some stupid stuff on the on their phones. And I'm like, what? And it caught my eyes. And I remember one young girl in one girl in the classroom said, Moja, I thought you're a believer. Why would you look at stuff like that? Why would you do that? And, you know, I couldn't even justify myself. And I'm like, yeah, I'm wrong. I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be doing that. There's a scripture that I've modeled my life around. And it's this, when God is speaking to Moses and he says the simple words. It's not on the screen. I'm just going to paraphrase. And he says these words. Listen, this is my space. He was talking about the mountain. This is my mountain. Anything that is unclean that touches this mountain must be put to death. Anything, even if like a person comes and touches this mountain, they must be put to death. And I saw the scripture and I'm like, you know what? If God can put boundaries around himself, I must put boundaries around my life, what I allow close to my heart. I must put boundaries. I must be like, okay, that's not on. Only Christ is welcome. Where are we standing as a people that we're tolerating everything and we're thinking like, you know, we can just get away with it? I remember my friends used to say this, lesson today will repent tomorrow. Grace no longer abounds if you do something knowingly. We need to get back to the place where we take God seriously because he took us serious when he gave his life for us. And the scariest thing that a believer can do is that they can know the state of their hearts. They can know that they're lukewarm and still do nothing about it. Yeah, it's okay. I'm lukewarm and I'm loving it. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm McDonald-ing. Where are we standing? Do we really love God? This message is not to condemn anybody. Jesus is coming soon. We need to be ready. 10 virgins, only 5 of them were ready. I preached a sermon once at our church, and I'm like, which part of the 5 are we going to fall in? Are we going to be ready, waiting for the master? Or are we going to be like, you know what, let's go to sleep. Let's carry on with our lives. He's coming. Yeah, he's coming. But I want to be ready. And I believe the people of God should be ready for the bridegroom. Second last scripture that I want to mention. Joshua 24, verse 14 to 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. First of all, he says this, fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In sincerity and in truth, put away your idols. And if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourself whom you want to serve. But he makes this bold statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can we make that bold statement and say, you know what, everybody's going left, but I'm going to go right because I don't care about popularity anymore. I'm going to live for Christ. Where are we standing as a people? Do we still love Jesus? Do we still love Jesus? Can the band come up, please? I want to mention the scripture. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. And this is the Lord speaking. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Choose life. Listen to this. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. And God still says to us, choose life. Choose life. God's idea is for us to follow him. You know, he set you free so that you can follow him. Because it's only truly in Christ that you are free. When you continue in the journey of serving him, when you are free, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, yes. But you need to follow the one that sets you free. Where are you standing tonight? Are you still in love with Christ? Is he still your first love? Is he still your first love? Let's close our eyes, please. Father, tonight we come to you as your children, God. And Father, we know that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. But tonight, Lord Jesus, we want to come back home, God. We want to come back to you. Father, we want to come back to our first love. Because only in you, Lord God, can we be truly joyful and have peace. Only in following you, God, are we free. So, Father, this evening, God, I pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts, God, and that you will pinpoint the things, Lord God, that is in our hearts that are not pleasing to you, God. Father, come and consume our hearts, Lord God. Have your way in us, Father. King Jesus, we invite you to show us where we have left our first love. Show us our last step of obedience tonight, Father, that we may come back to you. This evening, if you feel like you're not at a place of your first love, and you just want to come back to your first love, there's going to be facilitators willing to pray with you. If you feel like you just want to come back to the place of your first love, I want to invite you to come to the front.